Hey everybody, Kendra the Vet Tech here, and today we're going to talk about another great career option for a credentialed veterinary technician. So with me today is Erica. She is an LVT, and we are going to talk about the credentialed veterinary technician in industry. So welcome, Erica. Thank you so much for joining us. Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, Kendra. Thanks. Yes, I will. So again, I'm Erica. I'm an LVT. I've been credentialed since 2004, and I worked in veterinary clinics actually since 1998. So I was uncredentialed. 2004. Wow. I worked in clinic from 98 until 2004, until I got the credentials. And then I worked in clinic for probably another 4 years. And that's when I got into sales. And so I work for sales now. I'm a territory business manager for Zoetis Pet Care. And most people working in clinics know who we are. And I also worked for Hill Nutrition doing sales for pet food before that. I also teach on the side for veterinary assistant courses to just kind of, you know, dabble in teaching. And a little fun fact is that my original degree is in political science, and I planned on going to law school. And when I lived in Washington, D.C. after college, I had the opportunity to move to China. Oh. And in China is where I started working with animals, and I worked with a veterinarian in China, which is why I came back and went to Bellray Institute in Denver, Colorado for my credentialing.
Okay. So this is super crazy. I want to just divert just a little here because, you know, I recently chatted with Garnetta, and she brought up how she went to a CE and learned about dogs in the food industry in Asia, right? How they actually for human consumption, right? So I think that's such a crazy tie back to that previous episode, and that is where you got your start in this. That is just, oh, that's so funny and interesting. Oh, that's awesome. So, you know, when we say industry, I feel like that's a really big, broad term, because when I say that, you know, I don't really have this solidified picture that comes to my mind when I say that. So is that correct that it is kind of a broad term? There's lots of different places that we can go in this quote unquote field of industry.
Yes. I think that you really don't know what you want to do with your LVT credentialing until you get it and you get into veterinary hospitals working as a technician. And then you really decide, I love this. I'm going to stay put and I'm going to stay in this hospital. Or you say, I love this, but I need to make more money. I'm going to try for a different hospital. I worked in large animal first after getting credentialed, and I loved working in equine, but I could not afford my life without a roommate, which is what got me back into small animal. And, you know, I did that up until about year 10 and just needed more. I was able to get a managerial position at a VCA. So I was a manager, still as a licensed credential, but I was a manager of the technical staff. Mm-hmm. And then the sales position came open to me because I just wasn't fulfilled. But I've worked with so many technicians who have worked in the same practice or with the same doctor for 20 something years, and they love it. And so I really feel like my biggest advice when I meet people who are technicians and they ask about, oh, wow, how did you get this job? Do you love it? You know, I say, I love it, but it's not for everyone. And I think that as a technician, once you're in a hospital, you just have to follow with what it is you're fulfilled with. And if you reach a point someday where you're not fulfilled working on the floor, look into being a practice manager, look into being a technical manager for some of these larger hospitals. Even within the industry, you can look at large hospitals like VCA and NVA and Banfield, and they have regional operations directors. And so they're managers over several hospitals, but it's still in the vet industry. And I'm in sales, but I call on vet hospitals. Yeah. And so the word industry, it's huge. There are so many paths that you can take as a technician. So I really try to remind people, don't feel like this is the last step. You become a vet tech and you work in a vet clinic. Mm-hmm. Because some for you, it might be the last. And some people, who knows where it will take you.
Yeah. You know, and that's a good, because even along the vein of being in practice, even if you do decide to stay in practice, that's still not even the last step. There are things like the veterinary technician specialties. So, I mean, there are just so many routes and so many avenues. Okay. So today though, with the industry, we're going to be speaking directly about sales within that. Is that kind of what I gathered?
My industry is sales.
Yeah.
You know, I work for a pharmaceutical company. I work with distributor companies. I work with the pet food companies, and we all do the same thing. In the sales industry, you work for, you know, whichever industry it is, whether distribution, manufacturer, food, nutrition, nutraceuticals, and you have a group of hospitals and a territory. So I have about 78 hospitals. My territory is, you know, up to Fredericksburg, Virginia, out to Gloucester, Virginia, Richmond, Virginia. And you are in control of all of your territory. We are in charge of it. We run it like we own it. So we really do run it like a small business, but with quotas. That makes the job very difficult. And we are a one for all for our vet clinics. So we sell them something, we educate them on that product. We may have to return something. We have to order their brochures. We have to sign them up for CE. We have to give them CE and create events. So if you like jobs that have a lot of moving pieces, sales is a really great choice. And also to have flexibility with schedule and work autonomously. Not everyone wants to work autonomously. Some people like to kind of have that set schedule every day, and sales, that's not it.
So how much, you kind of talked about your area that you run here. Oh, actually, you know, Erica, I don't think you've stated your full kind of job. You're a territory sales manager. Is that right?
Yeah. Territory business manager.
So business we call manager. That- Okay. So how much traveling do you normally do for your job? I know with COVID right now, things are quite different than they were before, and who knows what things are going to look like after this, but let's just kind of primarily focus on what your job was like. How much traveling were you doing to clinics?
Every day. I traveled every day. My territory was such that I was home every night, so I didn't have overnights. I certainly could have. I have a part of my territory that with traffic can, it's about an hour and 45 minutes or more. So I could have done an overnight there to kind of knock out, you know, 2 days in that area. But generally I get up in the morning, I jump on my computer pre-COVID, I jump on my computer and I, you know, pre-call plan, which is really kind of digging into each of these clinics where I'm going to go, what my objectives are, and then I drive there. So a lot of my time was spent in the car. A lot of my time was driving. You visit the clinic. If you have an appointment, that's the best because then you really get to dive into the person you need to see. Sometimes you go in and the clinic has a gatekeeper and you don't see anyone. And then you drive home at night, you log your calls, you have to do expense reports. We do have meetings throughout the year where it might be anywhere from 3 days to 5 days where you are gone because it's a large meeting. And, you know, we'll have Saturday events. I'm sure as a licensed technician, many people listening have gone to CE events on Saturdays or in the evenings or in the Sundays. We are the ones who put those together.
Okay. And what about, so it sounds like the furthest you travel, just generally speaking, is about an hour and 45 minutes. So this isn't like plane rides every other week, just for your general work stuff.
Correct. And that's my territory. Now, I have two because, you know, Zoetis last year bought Abaxis. So we own a diagnostic company now. So the two diagnostics women on my team, they have the entire area. We only have one who covers seven TBMs. So they definitely do overnights. You know, they're 5-6 hours away from their furthest clinic. And so it really, again, depends for sales what company you work for and what your territory looks for, because some people could certainly have multi-state territories and have to get on airplanes to do that.
Okay. And so it also sounds like you don't actually have an office that you go into. So your home base is your home. Is that, am I understanding that right?
That is absolutely correct. And so during COVID, that has proven to be quite interesting because my office is my kitchen and I have 2 children and 5 pets who love to bark when the Amazon guy delivers. But many people do have offices. It has become more apparent the need for an office with COVID. We've been allowed to go out during COVID, but it really depends on the state. So Virginia has been yellow or red quite a lot. And so right now we're more inside sales. And even if you want to be in this organization, you can do inside sales. You know, some people go into animal medicine, they don't want to deal with people. Mm-hmm. But maybe they have a sales side. So you can do inside sales where you work from an office and you call in. You call all of your clients. You don't do any face-to-face. And you work with the field sales, which is what I am. So even within sales, there's quite a few options that you can get into, whether maybe you don't like driving, you would rather stay in an office. I've heard of other distributors or other manufacturers that have even smaller territories. So they may just have like one city.
Okay.
Which is even better, right? 45 minutes from top to bottom of your territory.
Yeah.
So, you know, doing your research is important if you want to get into sales. Doing your research of the organization, I feel like it's really important to believe in the products that you're selling. So not to take a sales job just for the sake of having one. If yeah. you've worked in practice and you've seen these products on the shelf and you say, heck yeah, I love Apoquel, I want to sell it. But you could say, you know, no, I don't like these products of this company. You know, don't take a sales position just for the sake of doing it. I feel like it would be very hard to be an insincere salesperson mm-hmm. as a technician. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, salespeople get a bad rap, but many people deserve that, right? They're just selling stuff. They're pushing it. You try on the shirt, you look terrible. The salesperson tells you, you look great. I really believe that being a technician for men and women who are technicians and want to go into sales, the integrity of the sale, it's always going to be there. I don't think you ever lose that. I still feel like a technician first, and I left practice in 2008.
Yeah.
I've been out of practice for 13 years nearly because it was January of 2008 that I started Hills. I still have integrity of what I am selling. I don't ever want to sell a product that I would not put into my own animal. And I think technicians have just are always going to have that human animal bond.
Yeah.
So they really are going to focus on what they're selling.
Yeah. And so what are, you know, you said you did work in large animal and equine practice when you were working in practice as a technician. What are you doing now in sales? Are you doing small animal only or equine or a little bit of everything?
Yes, mine's small animal. We call it companion animal. We have an equine division at Zoetis, but it is separate. Some clinics do have mixed practices in their territory. I wish I did. And then Zoetis has companion animal, we call pet care, companion animal, equine, cattle, swine, and poultry. So we have quite a few brands. So if you're an LVT working on a farm, or in a large animal hospital, or even at a teaching hospital, there are certainly many species that you can go into sales, and you don't, you know, have to focus on a species that you're not comfortable with. But if you want to learn species, then you can do that as well.
And what about your schedule? You mentioned your schedule earlier. Let's talk about that in a little more detail. Do you kind of make your own schedule based on when you need to be going to visit these hospitals? So your schedule kind of stays the same, but rotates down a timeline, if you will, or how does that work?
It really does. I mean, now it's crazy because, you know, my kids get on the bus at 7:25 and I sit down at my computer at 7:30. And so it's really strange because I start work that early and I just kind of work solidly throughout the day. And then around 2 o'clock, I'm like, I should take a lunch break.
So you haven't lost your technician drive by going into sales. You still skip your lunch breaks.
I still skip my lunch break. It's ridiculous. And when I drive, it's even worse because so generally, yes, I get up and I know where I'm going to go. You kind of have an idea of that week, where you're going to go each day. And so that really sets what time you need to leave the house. If I'm going to be local in Richmond, I can leave later. The furthest clinic is 25 minutes, but you know, I have clinics 2 hours away, and that's traffic on Interstate 64 that could be 2 hours and 25 minutes. So that really all depends. Is it wintertime or is it summertime where there's beach traffic? Because I head towards Virginia Beach. And so, yes, I said it. It's all up to myself. You know, I have a manager who's not a micromanager. We're all adults. You know, if you really have to know that you can get yourself up, you can get dressed, you can get out of the house, and be very self-reliant. You really have to know that about yourself to do this job successfully. And then, yeah, I just set my schedule according to if I have appointments, where I'm going. For sure, I try to make my schedule around either five clinic visits all in the same city. So I'll just drive that hour and 35 and do five near each other. Or maybe I'll drive to the 2 hour visit and then drive 30 more minutes to one that's closer, 30 more minutes, and then inch my way back home and visit clinics on the way. So you really just kind of learn your territory. You learn which hospitals are easy to get to and from, and you know, some which practice managers like to see you or which doctors will see you on a Tuesday, because you even roll that in there. You know, some people will say you may love to go to Williamsburg on Wednesdays, but your best two doctors don't see people on Wednesdays. So there's a lot of moving pieces that you have to remember to make the job successful. And you also have to like numbers, which I did not at all. And I've taught myself to be a numbers girl and track my numbers. You know, it's up to you to know that you're hitting your quota. And okay. So you have to track those numbers and see where you are and see where your gap is. A lot of number crunching and business planning and things that I never did as a technician. Mm-hmm. Medical math, anesthesia, drug doses in my sleep. But was I figuring out quota phasing? I was not.
Well, what about starting in this position? Was this the position that you're in right now? Is this exactly the job that you were hired for several years ago and have stayed? Or were you hired sort of at a lower level, if that exists, and kind of worked up to here? Or how does that look?
I'm in the same position. It absolutely does exist to come in as an associate TBM, I think, if you don't have sales experience. But because I had the 3 years with Hills Pet Nutrition, in between Hills and Zoetis, I took a break from veterinary medicine and ran an IT business with a family member. And so I was IT sales and running a business. So that brought me in at my TBM. That's why I was teaching on the side. I missed veterinary medicine. So I was teaching a vet assistant class. But yeah, I came in as a TBM. And then you can move up to senior TBM with a promotion. Quite honestly, I'm not really sure what the qualifications are for that, because I always forget to ask. But we have other positions of sales. We have strategic account managers. You can move into that position. And you can move into being an area business manager, who is my manager. Okay. So if you love it and want to grow with the company, my manager started as a TBM. I'm currently in the process of trying to move into a different role out of sales. So that's another thing. If you look at a company that you think, maybe I'll do sales, but maybe sales might not be the last step I want to take, look for a company that's big enough that has other departments. So I'm trying to move into learning and development, because I really like to coach and mentor and teach. And so I'm staying in the sales role until I can get a role, you know, maybe in learning and development or something a little different. So I just know me, and I know that I like to learn new things. I've been in this role for 5 years. So I kind of feel like 5 years is the jumping point to try something different.
That's great. And that's an awesome little nugget for you guys too, that, you know, we're talking to Erica about sales, but she's in a company that's large enough that there's positions that maybe you didn't even realize were out there for you. So that's an awesome nugget. Thank you for sharing that little bit as well. And if we have folks that want to start in with something like sales, is there some sort of minimum requirement or things that you would suggest before looking into something like this?
So I don't think there's a minimum requirement necessarily for some of these associate roles, because I did go through training with people coming straight from the vet clinic.
Okay.
But I do think that your ability to interview is really important, and do your research on the company so that you can ask very intelligent questions during the interview about the company. But in this day and age, you need to have your profile on LinkedIn. If you are going to get out of a clinic and get into a larger company, you have to be on LinkedIn. I think so. This is my own personal opinion. Get a nice profile up on LinkedIn and start sending invitations to connect with people in these types of organizations, so that when a position comes up, you can reach out to someone and ask for a referral. And I've had people do that to me. I've had people say, you know, connect with me and then say, I'm trying to get a role in you know, your organization or doing sales. I see that you've worked for Hills, or do you have any positions open? So take the opportunity to network, which is nothing that you have to do in a vet clinic. You do not have to network, but network, 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 network. Because in this day, you know, I'm older. I used to go into a clinic or a place with a paper resume when I wanted a job. We don't do that anymore. You have to send it through a link and then an algorithm decides whether your resume is going to make it through. So pay someone who is a professional resume writer and a cover letter writer so that they can see the job description and make sure the right words are in there. Get on LinkedIn, make tons of connections with people on LinkedIn so that if you find the position you want, they can put a referral in, because then your resume bypasses the algorithm. And it goes straight to the hiring manager. I just really cannot stress that enough.
You know, I think that's a really good kind of sidetrack path that we can go off on here for just a second. I totally agree with you. You know, I did a short stint in practice management and some hiring as well. And I can tell when people send me cover letters that they've just copied and pasted off of Google, you know, or their resume that they haven't updated in Lord knows how long. We notice that stuff, guys. And this is serious. This can, you can be the best candidate in the pile, but when we're just looking at you on paper, you're going to lose every time. If you're not taking this seriously, if you're not writing things out to where, you know, we're using good grammar, good language, good word choices. It's so important. And networking as well. I mean, life truly is all about who you know. So getting yourself out there, making these connections, and that really will get you much, much further in the long run. So I think those are both really great little nuggets to plug in here just for general, you know, apply to any job that you wish to go after as a credentialed veterinary technician. So you kind of mentioned earlier about pay and things and switching over and fulfillment. Were those kind of the big picture things with switching over from general practice to your sales position? Is just looking for that kind of fulfillment and pay. It sounds like it does pay quite a bit better in your area. I'm sure probably all over as well to be in your position.
It really was. And pay was a lot of it. Although at that point I'd kind of gotten used to the technician salary.
We're used to being poor.
Used to it. It was mostly, I just felt there was a part of my brain I wasn't using, a part of my skills that I wasn't using. And honestly, I could not put a finger on it. And I was unhappy in the hospital where I worked. My last hospital, I was very unhappy. I liked being a manager. I was not happy being in this particular clinic. I got lucky. I had the head veterinarian, the medical director, come to me and she said, I just went on a 3-day trip to Hills Pet Nutrition in Topeka, Kansas. They take veterinarians. And the person who was hosting the trip said, hey, we have positions in these three places. If anybody knows of a good candidate, let me know. And my boss said, I immediately thought of you, Erica. I just thought this is the perfect job for you. And so she got me my resume into the hiring manager because she thought of me. And so I think even saying that, having a good relationship with your boss in the vet clinic, with people who network, with people who talk, you know, maybe you're a technician, you never see your Zoetis rep or your MWI rep or your Hills rep, but perhaps get to know them so they know who you are. And perhaps if you have the type of boss who knows that you want a little more, have them keep their eye open for you. Have other people help you out. Because I don't know that I would have gotten into the position as easily without my boss making that recommendation. So I think that we should not be afraid to tell our veterinarians or our practice managers, I think I want more. I think I might be interested in this. Can you help me? And I, you know, I will say this, if you work for a practice that you're afraid to tell them that, then you need a new practice.
Yeah. It's all about the culture. And that was a great just case in point example to follow up our previous little topic we were just talking about. Life is about who you know, networking, because yeah, that's perfect. You were open about what you wanted. Your manager boss knew that. And then you found this great opportunity for yourself. And yeah, understanding that you want more and opportunities and your tribe is so important. I see that everywhere all the time these days, you know, your tribe, make sure you're surrounding yourself with the right kind of people. And I've experienced that myself even recently that, you know, I've been more honest with the people that I'm working with and about my journey and where I want to go. And it's really freeing too, I feel. You don't feel like you're kind of just dragging along until something better comes along. Whether or not something's happening today, it still feels like you're working towards that better end for yourself.
That's absolutely right. And it's really important to believe in yourself and be okay with the fact that you went to school and took a national exam to become a licensed vet tech or an RVT or a CVT, and now suddenly you want something different. And that is okay. It does not make it wrong. Oh gosh, you just spent money on this school or you just did that. And that's okay because it's a stepping stone. And, you know, not that you need to know my age, but I'm turning 47 next week.
You don't have to share numbers on this podcast.
But I do tend to share my age because I think it, you know, I'm almost 50. And what I have learned in life is be your own cheerleader. Don't be afraid to take risks and don't be afraid to change just because you did something. You know, there are always going to be people who say, no, you're better at it. You're just a technician, which I hate that phrase.
Yeah.
Or, oh my gosh, you just went to school 2 years ago. Aren't you still paying that off? Why would you want to switch again? Because it's your journey. And if you are an LVT, RVT, CVT, a credentialed technician, you have a lot to give because it is not an easy job. And you basically run animal hospitals and you take care of animals. You take care of your vets. You take care of everyone else. And you have a lot to offer the world.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, because you are a technician does not mean you have to work in an animal hospital for the rest of your life. Unless you want to.
Yeah, definitely. And it's great because I feel like veterinary medicine is really starting to recognize that as well. And our options are just expanding like crazy right now. And it's so great. I'd like to talk about the education process for you though. So part of your position is also, you're the lunch and learn lady. I'm sure everybody, lunch and learns are our favorite when we're in practice. If you haven't had one, go to one because they're great. You get lunch, free lunch, and you learn about some stuff. So it's awesome. So how does the education process work for you then as the person who's giving the lunch and learns? Do you have some time that's set aside that you have to have X amount of hours learning about this product before you come to us in practice? Or how does that go?
Oh, yes. Product knowledge is intense with these companies. If you work for a manufacturer, if you work for a distributor company, you sell everything. And so you really rely on your manufacturer reps for the education. But if you work for a manufacturer or, you know, like Hills and Zoetis are both manufacturers, then yes, the product training is really intense, very intense. And I would almost say if you are deciding to go to sales and you like the education part of that, find out whether or not you're doing the lunch and learns. My distributor reps do not do them. They don't have that product knowledge. But our product training, we know everything about our products. We know the safety studies. We know the efficacy studies. We know the safety and efficacy results. We know the, you know, modes of action and mechanism of action, how it works, the side effects. And then we also know our competitor products so that we can talk on those. Okay. So the amount of technical knowledge that you have to store in your head is pretty high. But coming as a technician, it makes it so much easier because we already know the product. And now we're just learning the background of the product. So for me, a lunch and learn is my favorite part of this job. It's my absolute favorite part of this job. I love being in the clinic. I get to talk to the whole staff, not just the doctors. And we really get to use the knowledge that we learn with the practical anecdotes that we had as a technician. It makes it much more understandable for the staff, I think.
Yeah.
Because we can say, this is what the product does and this is what the side effect is. But you know how when you're working in practice and ABC happens? Well, that's really what it's like. And the staff is like, yes, I get that. I understand that. And so again, I just feel like when you're a credentialed technician going into one of these sales roles in the veterinary industry, you have a leg up on everyone else who didn't come from the industry. The nice thing about working in a vet clinic is that you go home at night and your job is in that building mm-hmm. that you just left. When you work from home, your job is always here. And you really have to learn how to turn it off and walk away. And then there are other times that you sure would like to turn it off and walk away, but it's the end of a quarter and you have to hit that quota. And so now you have to dig into that Tableau and dig your numbers and find out where am I going to make up this gap. And so sales can be fun and it can be, I don't know if I would say glamorous, but we do get to get dressed up and then it can also just make you want to weep with, you know, exhaustion and eyes crossing from looking at numbers and stress. So there's always a good and a bad in everything.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all the questions I had for you, Erica. Do you feel like there's anything that we missed kind of in the broad overview of what it is that you do if anybody's looking into moving into sales?
I would say I've had a lot of people ask me who are my clients, do you guys have any jobs that are opening? I feel like I would really like your job because they see me come in a really cute outfit and high heels. And, you know,
I've got anal glands sprayed on them.
Right. Exactly. They just got anal glands sprayed on them. And I've just picked up Starbucks for everyone. And so for them, they think, oh my gosh, I need this girl's job. But you really have to be self-motivated. You really have to take numbers and quota seriously. There's no playing with these huge quotas that we have. And you have to have a thick skin and be willing to accept rejection on a daily basis. And that is the truth. So yes, sales can be great. If you want more out of a vet clinic, I highly recommend it. If you are the type of person that can get up every day, dig into what you have to do, set your plan for the day and execute it and be willing to have people lie to your face. No, Mary isn't here right now. When you can see Mary hiding behind the door, you know, I don't want to do this. I like my other rep better. Yes, I'm going to buy this from you. Can you call me in 2 days? And then you call them. They're like, yeah, no, I changed my mind. So thick skin, lots of patience, and you like to drive.
Yeah.
Once COVID's over.
Yeah. I'll say, you know, that I've been the technician in a couple of those instances where, yeah, I'm just covered in Lord knows what. My hair is a mess. I usually just do mascara because I know I'm going to be a mess, right? So, but mascara might be askew. And then here comes this sales rep, right? Fabulous hair, fabulous nails, clean car, coming in with Starbucks or Krispy Kremes or what have you. And I'm like, man, just for like 5 seconds, I would love your job, you know? But I've also been the other one too, where I'm just like, oh Lord, was that the rep that just pulled in? I don't have time for this today. You know, I can't do this today, guys. So that's too funny. Too funny. Our yes. worlds collide yes. here.
Absolutely. And again, if you are a credentialed technician looking into getting into sales and you get that interview, make sure you hammer home how great it is that they would have a credentialed technician in their sales role, because we are talking to our own people when we're at an animal hospital versus a human pharma coming over thinking they're talking to a human animal or a human doctor's office. It's not the same. Veterinarians and veterinary technicians and assistants, they're a special little world of people. And so if you're a credentialed technician, you get it. You get that world. And so you have a leg up on other people, and make sure you flaunt that in an interview and you're proud of it and you tell them why being a veterinary technician, a credentialed technician, is going to make you a better sales rep. So definitely that's the time to flaunt being a credentialed technician, is in that interview.
Yeah. I mean, you're right, because you are talking to your people. Who yep. are the DVMs saying, who are the DVMs chatting with when they're talking about a new vaccine or a new product? How are things going? Who are they talking to? They're talking right. to their veterinary technicians. So
right.
why not be that person that a veterinary technician would feel like they're on an eye-to-eye level with? So that's great. That's a really good thing for people to know, kind of a hint, insider tip, yeah. if you will. So to wrap up, speaking of tips, I usually have guests leave a tip or trick that has helped them along the way, either, you know, personally or something medicine related. Do you have anything for our listeners?
A tip or trick just in life?
Well, you've given us a million of them today. So if you don't have any left, that's okay. But we've had them vary from, you know, remember to take your lunch break, to journal while you're in school, to a tip for an avian blood draw, anything that you've just kind of learned in life as a credentialed veterinary technician that you didn't learn in school. I'm sure there's a lot of them.
Yeah. The biggest thing that I learned when I run into the gaggle of teenagers at the sauna at the gym that I love to pass on is keep your eyes open for opportunities and always take the opportunity. That opportunity may fail, but it will lead to a different opportunity, because you don't get to experience anything new in life if you're not willing to walk through that opportunity door. So just take it. Don't let people convince you not to. And even if it's terrifying, do it.
That's some pretty solid just life advice, I think. So thanks so much for that. And that wraps us up for today, guys. Erica, thank you so much for joining us today. We've learned so much from you about being a credentialed technician in sales.
This has been really fun, and I hope that your listeners got something out of it.
Oh, I'm sure they did. And you can join me, guys, on my website, kendrathevettech.com. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram under Kendra the Vet Tech. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or things that you would like to see as topics, feel free to shoot me a message or an email at kendrathevettech@gmail.com. Thanks, guys.